Hi, everybody. This is the Mike and Abe Show with Carolyn standing in. And Carolyn is here.
Hi, Mike and Abe.
And Mike is here. And
yes, hi.
And we're glad you're tuning in from anywhere in on the planet Earth or even further out. Okay? If you happen to be an astronaut, okay, we're hoping you're tuning in.
Right.
This is the first show we're doing since we had all of these bills passed at the City Council, the FHV bills, okay, by the FHV committee. Mm-hmm. So I would like to figure out, I'm asking myself, and probably a lot of other people are asking themselves, okay, the bills are passed. So what can we expect to happen now that the bills are passed, okay, and that will actually make things better? Okay, because there's still 110,000 scroobers on the street, okay, along with the lifties and the vias and the whatever, okay, clogging the streets of New York City, making it impossible for hardworking, legitimate cab drivers, okay, who have been here and paid millions of dollars for their medallions, okay, or worked 20 or 30 years to pay for their medallions, okay? What will actually happen in the future? What is the plan? How are these bills going to right things? Okay, so
can I give you an update on the numbers of cars?
Yes.
The New York Post reported that there's 10,000 more for hire vehicles in the pipeline ready to come out there on the street.
Okay, but what good are they going to be if it's only going to, you know, exacerbate the problems that all of these cars are having, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand how the TLC is allowing this, because
it's really unconscionable
to let these guys go out there and do that. They're not going to make any money.
No, they're not going to make any money, and they should have
fair to them.
Well, they should have seen that before they got online to put these cars out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, but the bills have been signed by Mayor de Blasio, and that's all halted now. Okay, whatever is out there is it. And now what we have to look for is these things, depreciating in numbers. All right, there's a report out that was issued by the Taxi Cab Limousine Paratransit Association. In an article written by Michael Bullars, who is an advocate for the MTBOT, and I've skimmed through it and read it, and I just want to read this one line, okay, or one paragraph, all right? The TLC will determine a utilization rate for HVFHVs, that's high-volume FHVs, which is now defined as any FHV company such as Uber that's doing more than 10,000 trips a day, okay? And enforce the rate. There may be one rate for the Central Manhattan and another for the outer boroughs. The purpose is to ensure the efficiency of existing vehicles and punish inefficiency in HVFHVs. This regulation should thin the herd of Ubers, as it will no longer be financially feasible to run inefficient cars in the Central Business District. Recent studies show Ubers are empty more than 40% of the time. It is intended to reduce congestion and right-size the HVFHV fleet. Okay, so I interpret that as they're going to get all those cars out of there that aren't making any money.
My question about that is, who is responsible? Is it the base the car is affiliated with? The base can change all the time. Is it the actual car itself? Is it the owner of the car? Is it the black car fleet that's leasing out cars to different drivers every day? I'm not clear on who is it who's going to get that, be held accountable for these standards.
But it says the TLC will determine the utilization rate.
I guess they'll have to determine who's responsible then also.
Well, they're supposed to report all this to the FHV committee, the city council, periodically.
Right.
I think it's every 3 months or something, I read. Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of this is going to depend on the will of the and the discretion of the Taxi and Limousine Commission and what they think their mandate is. As far as I'm concerned, I think their mandate is to husband and represent our interests. But I don't think they view their mandate that way anymore.
Well, let me just jump in here real quick. I was talking to Carolyn before the show.
Right.
She had brought up an interesting point about, and Abe, you can jump in on this. How is it that you two or medallion owners haven't completely lost your mind, knowing that you have basically been ripped off by the city of New York after they conned everybody into buying medallions for millions of dollars and then rolled out the red carpet for a big maybe that is now blocking traffic, and the people who have obeyed the laws and poured money into the city of New York were basically ripped off, in my opinion. And I'm just wondering how you two feel about the let's put it this way. I hear an ad on the radio saying, oh, you know, the city of New York is selling bonds backed by the full faith and credit of the city of New York. Carolyn, what is your perspective on the faith and credit of the city of New York at this stage of the game?
Well, I think the level of confidence has gone down. The MTA bonds, which aren't city bonds, even though the MTA is within the city, but they've been downgraded several times by the credit rating agencies. There's also a problem of looming pensions hovering over most municipalities in this country, and certainly New York City. How are you going to pay these pensions? Eventually, they will have to raise property taxes. That's the only way that they're going to be able to solve that problem, which is going to lower property values. It's not a good situation. And as far as how do we still have our minds? Have we gone out of our minds? Yes, we have. That's the short answer.
We are
out of our minds. We're channeling the insanity into, you know, trying to be productive. Trying to solve this problem. We are insane.
Let me jump in here.
You made a good comparison to Madoff.
We are like Madoff victims, only much worse. Because when you give your money to somebody named Madoff, you know, what were you thinking? And you took your chances. You were getting, you thought, a higher rate of return than other people. You took a risk and you lost money. And many of those people got back a lot of their original investments, we should say.
Yep.
In our case, we're being betrayed by our own government. And I think the city has a big mess on its hands now with all these cars on the road, 130, maybe it'll be 140, 150,000 vehicles. And politically, nobody wants to admit they're at fault. The mayor can't say it's his fault. The city council can't say it's their fault. The TLC doesn't want to admit fault. They had enough rules in place that they could have solved this problem years ago. We really don't need any more rules. But because nobody can accept blame, now we have to have a whole new set of rules. And hopefully the TLC will work within those rules, create some new rules, and this problem, you know, will be solved. But I'm not sure if the TLC is going to do that, because they've said many times they think that their mission is to protect the consumer, provide a wide variety of transportation, protect the drivers. They never say anything about protecting the value of medallions, the licensees, the people who paid billions of dollars for this essentially franchise that was guaranteed by the city. And they don't actually think that that's within their mandate, even though it says so in their own rules. They're supposed to protect the economic stability of licensees, which includes us. It says in the city administrative code that we have a right to expect a reasonable rate of return on investments, which would be the medallion, but they've chosen to ignore that. So that calls into question whether this TLC will be able to implement rules that will help the situation. We'll have to see.
Yeah. You say investment, Carolyn, but something was written yesterday in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, that was me.
I know.
I don't view it as an investment. Yeah, I view it as a franchise.
A franchise, right. You said that.
Yeah.
It is a franchise because you're buying, it's like you're buying a business, okay? And this business just happens to be sold by the city of New York, okay? Even if you go back to medallions that were issued in 1937, they were originally sold by the city of New York, okay? It's not like you're buying a McDonald's franchise from a big corporation called McDonald's, right? The corporation here is the city of New York. And the city of New York is a corporation, I was told once. Did you?
Oh, that's interesting.
No. Well, I once asked if you recall when Giuliani was mayor, the borough of Staten Island voted to secede from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, well, why aren't they seceding if they voted to do so? And you know, it's funny, the things you find out from your taxi passengers. All right.
That question
came up in a conversation one day with one of my passengers, and I was told that the reason Staten Island does not secede is because the city of New York is a corporation, and in order for a part of the corporation to break away, the corporation has to agree.
Or maybe they would have to buy back their shares in the corporation.
Something like that, okay? But at that time Giuliani was mayor, and he knew that he couldn't get reelected without Staten Island. Okay.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, because they're more conservative.
Right.
That's Trump country.
Yeah.
That and Bay Ridge.
Yeah, and I just want to say this. You know, if you watch the videos, and these videos are embedded into on the NYC Taxi News website, just go to the front page and look for the videos of the rally in Union Square that was last week, and the bill signing, which was earlier this week, okay? And, you know, the people that promoted all this, you know, the Taxi Workers Alliance and most people in the industry would get the impression from the mayor that, hey, everything's going to be okay now, okay? So what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if a year from now things are just as bad as they are now?
Yeah, there is an oxymoron in this, in that you're saying you're going to protect 100,000 drivers. Well, you can't have 100,000 drivers and protect them all. You've got to have less. But they can't say that because it's, you know, it's political. And I thank you for posting all those videos, because I can tell you I was at a lot of these events, and
yeah,
I couldn't hear or see anything that was going on.
Oh, so okay.
I was able to review it only because, you know, you put it on your website. So thank you.
And that's where it belongs.
Well, you know,
it belongs on the website. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, the MTA thing is, I mean, the money that has been sucked away from the MTA with this Uber an app fiasco is mind-boggling. I mean, for some reason, the MTA is afraid to raise the fare. They're cowardice, and because every time they have a hearing on raising the fare, people go nuts. I mean, I can't blame them, because it's disgusting. When you think about it, you could go from the North Bronx to Staten Island for $2.75. You can take a boat from the Bronx to Wall Street for $2.75. So you got a guy wearing $400 sneakers complaining about a $2.75 subway ride. It's kind of you're running a business. Things cost money, but the MTA won't do it. And at the same time, the MTA is crying about money coming in. They have tens of thousands of Uber cars sucking revenue off the streets and blocking traffic. I mean, the other day I was standing on 7th Avenue, and I saw the M20 going southbound on 7th Avenue by Penn Station at about 5 or 6 o'clock, high to rush hour. Maybe there's 9 people on the bus, and it used to be a full house. And then you go on the trains at the high to rush hour. There's maybe about 40% of the trains has people on it. This is the high to rush hour, so these people are taking their little Uber group rides, and that money is being dragged out of the MTA. So now, jump back to the yellow cab, which is an unfair competitive advantage for Uber again, is that we are going to be burdened tentatively on January 1st with $2.50 per ride, which should have been our fare increase. And they say that money is going to go to the MTA and say, listen, if you got rid of 40,000 Uber cars tomorrow, that would be better than a fare increase for the MTA, because the trucks can't move, the trucks can't deliver stuff. The people don't want to come in the shop because they can't drive. The only people who are making a fortune are some of these car dealers, and I see it in the lots. All you see is little black cars with Uber, Via, Lyft signs in the window with exclamation points. I mean, you can't blame them. They're in business to sell cars, and by God, they sold 90,000 cars to these characters in 4 years. So at what point do we just say, listen, that's enough, okay? I mean, honest to God, it's gotten so ridiculous. And I know, I mean, it's literally, I'm just wondering, Abe, if we can jump topics for a second. what have you and Carolyn heard about this $2.50 fiasco to be starting in January? We got to get rid of that, because not only is it unfair to the cab drivers, but you have a lady going around the block for $7 now. Is she going to stay and have to pay $9.50? Is she going to have to jump up to $9.50 from $7 because Uber runs the city?
It would be cheaper for her to buy new shoes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Right, which brings us to another point. Everybody's complaining that everybody's fat. Somebody in the city council the other day said that half of New York City kids are overweight. Half. So why do you want to make things more convenient for them? Why do you want to put those kids in Uber or even on the bus? Those kids should be walking or on their bicycles.
Damn right.
You know, you could make things too convenient for people. And as far as those black cars that they've sold, 90,000 black cars, they've sold some of them 3 and 4 times. You know, in these lease-to-own deals where the guy can't make it and then the car goes back and then they do it over and over again. Which makes me wonder, how did these fleets of black cars, how are they allowed to be in existence? How did the TLC allow that? They're essentially taxi fleets. I don't think that was in keeping with the way the base system and the black car system was supposed to work. And the parking spaces,
you can't find a place to park out in the boroughs. I mean, these guys don't live in Manhattan, most of them, but they live in Queens and Brooklyn and in the Bronx. They've just eaten up like 90,000 residential parking spaces, and it's got to be illegal. I mean, there's got to be some thing where you can sue the MTA and say, listen, this is unfair competitive advantage for the cab drivers, and at the same time, the first thing you should do is to tighten up your finances and get rid of the Uber cars. I mean, I'm just wondering if Cuomo, who the genius who said, America was never great. No, Cuomo was never great.
That's going to haunt him for the rest of his political life. I don't think he's going to be able to run for president now.
Let's hope that his political life is going to be ended with that statement.
Yeah. Okay. They're repeating it over and over again on TV. You know, that's what he's going to be known for.
I call him the Wookiee. the Wookiee of Wall Street. I think America was never great. Yeah, Cuomo, what a genius. But this is the thing. This is his baby because the MTA, who he says, I run the MTA. Okay, great. So the Blasio said, you run the MTA? There you go. He's incompetent. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just the textbook definition of a politician. And he wanted to flood the streets with Uber because the L train is going to take 2 years, which probably means it's going to take 20 years.
Yeah.
And nobody knows where the money's going.
It's the same company that did the Second Avenue subway. Judd Law. It's the same company.
Mm. I wonder how they got that gig with Cuomo. It's like, and he's rebuilding. He's rebuilding LaGuardia and all this stuff going on. And I'll tell you the truth. I don't see a lot of. I still to this reason don't know why Queens and New York City don't own LaGuardia and JFK. I mean, I think somebody told me the Port Authority kicked Cuomo discretionary funds. So that's why he loves the Port Authority. But, hey, you have 38,000 cops. You have 2 airports in Queens. Where is our borough president, Melinda Katz, to say, hey, we want the airports back. Get this out of here. I always see New Jersey plates in the LaGuardia. I see New Jersey plates with construction, with police cars. Everything is New Jersey. Why are we getting pimped out by New Jersey to run our airports in Queens? We have 8.5 million people here. We can find people to run our own airports. What do we need these characters for? I mean, honest to God. So now I'm all over the place. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you guys.
Oh, but getting back to the MTA for a second and the fares, they actually lowered the fares because they have this new fares program where if you earn under a certain amount of money, you'll be able to pay half price for the subways and buses. That's going to cost $200 million a year, they think. Maybe more. New York City subway fares, everybody moans and complains, $2.75. Well, in most other cities around the world, it's $5 or $6 to get a ride in London or Paris.
And that's what it should be in New York.
It probably should be. The fares are probably too low.
I'm surprised that the taxi passengers don't have an organization, to fight this $2.50 because they're the ones that are going to be paying it. Okay.
Well, not only that, but I mean, the MetroCard. I sometimes buy a MetroCard if I think I'm going to be running around for a week. I never buy the monthly because the break on the monthly card is not that great. and you're taking the risk of losing a monthly card, which, you know, good luck getting that money back if you lose it. So
yeah.
I always get the weekly card if I have a lot of running around to do during the week. But you got people dogging the hell out of these weekly cards. So one person buys the card for $32, and you got like five people living in the same apartment using the same card. I mean, they meet their friend at the bus, and they kiss them goodbye, and they hand them the card back, and blah, blah, blah. So, in essence, the city of New York on the subway was making more money with the little hard metal token because it was a real dollar amount going in there. With this MetroCard for $32, you got people paying, I did the math, you get some people paying 65 cents to ride subway because they got their friends and their girlfriends and their girlfriend's cousin and their friend's friend dogging the hell out of one card per week. So you can just, I mean, theoretically, it's supposed to be two rides a day. So 14 divided by 32, then you get a break, go up to 275.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it five and six times a day and then handing it to your friend at night, it's ridiculous. No wonder the subways are broke. So between the Uber mess and the MetroCard, which has been a complete fiasco. Oh, by the way, the mosquito spray, I was cutting the grass in my backyard, got eaten alive with the mosquitoes after a night of spraying, which I felt like I had the flu. So that's another show for another time. But there's all this weird stuff going on where a few people are cashing in, everybody else is getting stuck. So, I'll tell you, the MetroCard has just been a disaster. And the MTA keeps crying about money. Well, they got to sit down and do the books. And that's the other thing. If we're paying money to MTA, I want to see their books, all right? MTA is very squirrelish about showing people their bookkeeping. It's like, hey, we're kicking in $250 a trip, and you got private bondholders, which I would think means private ownership to a degree in the MTA. Why am I paying to make money for a private person? Any other business, you want to invest in a private business, you have the choice. Right now it's been mandated I have to support a private bond purchase? No, I don't think so. I think that's illegal, in my opinion. But Carolyn, you're the reporting genius of the thing. What exactly are these MTA bonds? These are private purchases, right?
Well, that's how a lot of things are funded in our country, with
right.
tax-free municipal bonds.
Okay.
That way, you don't have to, you know, get the money out of the taxpayers, except for the
right.
interest payments. And of course, interest has very long cycles, so probably for the next 30 years, interest rates are going to be going up. That's
wonderful.
What generally happens. So all these things that they're financing, as the bonds come due and they have to issue new bonds to replace the old bonds, they'll be at higher rates. So there's all kinds of problems looming. We're just a small part of it, believe it or not.
Listen, my turn. I just want to tell everybody out there that Carolyn is in her apartment in New York City. Mike is in his house in Queens. And I am somewhere on the planet where they can't see me. Okay, so we all cannot see each other. And we're all talking via Google Voice. Okay? And it's hard for, you know, like if you're sitting in the same room, like these TV people do, okay, or they put their pictures up on the TV, and I know we could use Skype to do this. Don't tell me how I should be doing the show, okay? Mike never heard of Skype, and I don't think Carolyn did either, okay?
Well, I've heard of it. I've never actually used it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I have heard of it.
But actually, if we use Skype, we can see each other. But we don't. We don't have any way of signaling each other when it's time for the other person to talk. Okay. That being said, okay, I just want to say this. Number one, if you want to see the MTA books, first you have to find a library. Okay? All right?
And,
you can't see it online?
I don't know. Number two, we just went through a period of demonstration after demonstration after demonstration that went on for the last 3.5 years, where the city council finally got it together and the mayor finally bowed his head, down to us and said, I'm sorry, I'll do something now, where we thought all along that the mayor wasn't interested at all in helping the industry, okay? But he did what he said he was going to do, and he did what he's and created these bills, or had the city council, and Corey Johnson is great. He should be the next mayor, okay? Because he really believes in what he did, okay? Such as
right.
We believe in what he did. But I just want to know this. If 1 year from now we are getting killed by this 250 MTA tax, okay, and we are getting killed because we didn't reduce the number of cars to the point where our medallions are a value that's sustainable, okay, or making enough money to feed our families despite what the medallion sells for, okay? If those two things happen, or don't happen, I should say, what is going to happen? You know, I mean, is there going to be more demonstrations in front of City Hall saying, "Hey, it didn't work. The 250 is destroying us." What is going to happen? Does anybody have a crystal ball out there?
There's two other things that are looming that might even make these bills not that important, or as important as we think they may be. One is the Taxi Workers Alliance lawsuit, which is in federal court. Mm-hmm. The Uber drivers, are suing Uber, saying that Uber lied, cheated, stole, misrepresented, enticed them to buy expensive cars, and then they didn't get the rewards they were promised, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
The judge presiding is Judge Hellerstein, and industry lawyers I've spoken to think that suit has the best chance of succeeding out of all the lawsuits, that we've been hearing about for the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And that there'll be, the judge will, say there has to be some minimum standard of payment for these workers, or that they're employees, or something along those lines. And that's not going to be very good for Uber. So that's looming. That's been going on for a couple of years. And then the other thing is Uber itself is in a meltdown. They just lost another $900 million in the second quarter of 2018. Yet somehow, miraculously, they say there's another $1 billion in their cash. I don't understand that, unless they borrowed another $1 billion, but I don't remember hearing any reports of that. I would have thought that would have been big news. So I'm not really sure. There are some people who think they're going to be in Chapter 7 pretty soon, that there's never going to be an IPO, and because nobody can do a certified audit of their books, and that the SEC, we wouldn't approve it. So, that may take care of this problem, along with these bills. But there's some other things happening that are, pretty big. So we'll have to wait and see.
Let me ask you this, Carolyn. Do you see the taxi medallion regaining any of its value? Now, I doubt it'll ever be sell for $1 million again, at least not in our lifetime. Okay? But do you see it, right now, if you could buy one, you can't get financed, all right? But I see that people are offering $250,000 for the medallions.
I think if you could buy one now, I think you'd really be sitting good. That's an expression in Russian, siddit harasho. Oh. It means like your situation is very good. Because if you buy something for $200,000, and you could basically pay that off in a couple of years, and then everything you make is gravy after that.
Right.
Aside from the cost of, operating your car. That's a really good return on investment. I don't know any investment that has those kind of returns.
Well, do you see the medallion hold on, Mike. Do you see the medallion, say a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, going, regaining some of the value that people paid for it?
I think it depends on the perception of what the Taxi Limousine Commission and the city government is going to do as far as limiting the other cars and protecting our industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of it's based on confidence.
In a minute, Mike. You said a lot. Just hold on. One more question. The one of the reasons the medallion went up to $1 million was because, credit unions such as Melrose, who made a big mistake, was willing to lend money for the medallions, whatever people bid on them. Okay, and that's obviously not going to happen again because the federal government, the NCUA or the FDIC for banks, will probably not allow that it be valued any more than what it's really worth. Okay, so what do you think the medallion is worth in reality?
I don't know. You want to compare it to real estate? Let's say you bought an apartment for $1 million, and maybe you'd get $30,000 in income and rent. That's a 3% return.
Right.
Less your expenses, it's not even a 3% return. So maybe it's not unreasonable that unreasonable that an Italian was worth $1 million, because as an owner driver, you'd be making a lot more money than that. And even as a medallion owner who's renting it out, you know, you would have made a decent. You were making over 3% with no expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say you made $35,000-$40,000 a year on $1 million medallion. It's not a bad rate of return either. So, I mean, maybe it's not worth $1 million, but I think it's worth a lot more money than, you know, $100,000 or $200,000.
Okay.
But, you know, markets decide.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and not always rational.
Okay, well, what happened with the medallion was it was maybe marketed greater than it was. Or nobody saw that the city would... it lost its value because...
The city basically was our partner in a marriage.
Right.
And then they started cheating on us. So instead of having the guts to divorce us, it's just gone on cheating.
Right.
Because if they divorced us, there would have had to been a divorce settlement, you know, involving some money. So this way they just keep cheating on us and not giving us a divorce settlement. So we'll have to see what they do. And nobody told us. They didn't tell us they were cheating on us or that they were going to.
Okay, Mike, you go ahead. You want to say something?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I can't tell you how ticked off. I'm going to keep banging the $2.50 per trip drum.
Yeah.
Because Cuomo, first of all, somebody was talking about home rule to keep the taxi business back in New York with our leaders running the taxi business. Because Cuomo, I never heard of anything like this, where all these people from upstate New York who have nothing to do with New York City, and coming from these towns that are just basically Tobacco Road ramshackle towns, now come in and start voting policy for the city of New York. I think there's got to be some legal precedent for that to say, no, enough, you can't do this, because they've driven their towns into the ground and they're bordering on bankruptcy, and they leech off the city of New York revenues to support their little bum you know what towns, and now they're all of a sudden getting Cuomo to run taxi policy. I gotta tell you something, if I'm looking at $250 a trip and I'm thinking about buying a medallion, I mean, let alone buying a car and leasing with that, which I had toyed with the idea a couple of times, like, listen, what's going to happen in January? I mean, this thing, the cowardice of Governor America Was Never Great Cuomo is that this wasn't even broken in, this $250 a trip, in December. It wasn't broken in November, where at least it would have been very busy and people could have got used to it when everybody needs a cab. He's going to bring it in January.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve on January was a complete madhouse to begin with.
Starting at midnight.
Right, and then he's going to... And then we're going to be saddled with it for the month of January, where it's very slow, and $250 a trip. Listen, this is an outrage. This has to be illegal. There's got to be some judge or some lawyer out
A lot has to do with the passengers. They're the ones that are going to decide whether it'll hurt us or not hurt us. Okay?
There's not been a lot of noise on this, and I'll tell you something else, is that... it's just unfair to everybody because, again, the lady going around the corner for $5 is going to have to pay, 60% more.
$7.50.
And the guy going up to the Bronx for $60 is going to pay, 1% more. So that's ridiculous. Or 10%. And the other thing is, like I said, it's impossible. Every time we get a little head of steam here with this taxi business, like it's coming back and business is better and blah, 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 bang. You always get something coming out of the sky to destroy it. And I think the Fed should start taking a look at Cuomo and his relationship with Uber, because we keep getting hammered with these crazy rules coming from Governor Cuomo's office when we get ahead of steam. Like right now I'm saying the business is better, people are back, they're complaining about Uber, Uber is losing in court, they're capping the fine, and all of a sudden out of the blue, Cuomo hits us with $2.50 per trip, which is just an outrage. And the last thing, I know I've been been an air hog here, but the last thing is, Abe, you've kicked a few guys off the site who were knuckleheads, and you thought agent provocateurs on the message board, where they were making believe they were cab drivers. They were cab drivers. You finally outed them and kicked them off. And I think more than a few people in the business, before this $2.50 surcharge came in from Cuomo's disaster budget, I was always saying, why can't we get a fare increase? They go, oh, Uber. So listen, don't worry about Uber. The Empire State Building doesn't worry about the guy who owns a building in the Bronx. The New World Trade Center doesn't worry about a guy who owns a building in 42nd Street. Why did we have all these people chirping about, we don't want a fare increase? I want a fare increase. I've always taken a fare increase. It's a natural progression to get a cost of living fare increase for the drivers. It had all these people saying, oh, no fare increase, no fare increase, no fare increase. And now all of a sudden, the MTA swoops in and hammers us with $2.50 per trip, which theoretically should have been our money per trip for the cabbies and for the industry and the medallion owners. And I wonder if these people who kept saying, we don't need a fare increase, were actually bullshit artists working for Uber, pardon my French. Go ahead.
I just want to say
that
this.
That $2.50, it could have been yours. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely it could have been ours. It should have been ours. It's just the 50 cents should have been ours. But, you know, look, I'm going to say this. If suddenly, come January 1st, the amount of fares we get go down by like 50 or 60% because people don't want to pay the extra $2.50, then the hell will break loose. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay? If the passengers say, oh, what the hell, it's only another $2.50, you know, it's not a big deal. Okay? I mean, there's nothing you can buy in New York City for $2.50. Probably you buy a candy bar, it's $2.50. Right? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
I mean, I pay $2. I pay $2 for more than $2 for a Milky Way up here, where I am, or down here. Okay.
It's going to be very painful for individual medallion owners to send this money in. We're talking about $60 a day. $3 a trip, 20 trips a day. That's $60 a day.
You have
$20,000 a
year. You have to understand, you know, when it... Look, regardless of whether you like it or not, you know, you're going to have to pay it if it doesn't get erased somehow, which we really would like to see, you know, somebody challenge us in court and say, you can't do this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean, isn't there some kind of law for overtaxation, is there? I mean, you know.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about any suits being launched, but I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, it really was out of the blue. Because up until the last hour, you know, the thinking was that they were not going to pass any kind of congestion pricing.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it goes through. Big surprise. And who's the biggest proponent of congestion pricing? Uber.
Oh,
they're the number one proponents of congestion pricing.
Well, they would like to see all
and
the private
cars.
And so
is most of the city council. They're all in line with this behind Uber. That they think it's wonderful, congestion price. Well, they're always trying to get
more revenue. Well, they don't necessarily want the money from congestion pricing. Of course, they'll be happy to get it, right? But what they really want is to see all of these private vehicles that people drive, you know, one in a car, all right?
There's not that many private vehicles. You know, there's less private vehicles coming into the city every year. And like I think Mike keeps pointing out, once they come in, they park. They don't just drive around.
Yeah.
They come in, they park, and there's less of them than ever.
Yeah, well, you know,
park. They just want the money.
They pay, and they pay plenty to park. You know,
yeah.
Go ahead.
$2.50 per trip reeks of a death blow. I mean, maybe it's going to be very cold or very rainy or Friday or Saturday, where people will pay it anyway because Uber will be in surge. But to have it all day long, right, which is even crazier. I mean, it could have been done in such a way where it's like, okay, additional stop or additional passenger or something like that, or peak hour or some deal where it would have been like surge basis. But to have it as a constant throughout the day, it just goes to show what a lightweight the governor's office is, and they have no right to do this. I mean, this somebody should get up there and sue the hell out of the state because this is unfair
competitive. Let me say this, you say no one was talking about it. Well, the conversation has just started, okay, with us.
Good.
All right. So So let's make this an issue. Okay. You know.
Good. Let me just jump in here and say real quick is that I reiterate the fact that these people who kept saying, "Oh, we don't need a fair game." I think there was, like I said, Ozhan, like fifth columnist, Ozhan Protokhodzors, and filtering through the candies, saying, "Oh, you don't want a fair game. Well, why don't I want a fair game? Why do I not want more money on the meter for me? Tell me what freaking moron does not want more money on the meter for your pocket? Why is that bad?" And you say, "Oh, what about Uber? Uber goes into surge. People are paying double and triple the rate for surge. People know things cost money, and the people who keep crying about a fare increase for cabs, especially the drivers, what, you got rocks in your head? You got to be kidding me." That's my opinion, but I, like I said, I'm just outraged at the fact that now the booby prize is the MTA swooped in and said, "Well, they don't want a fare increase.
We'll take it.
So, you know, yeah, and this is the idiocy of some of our so-called leaders, that now they're hiding, and they don't know what to say, and they're crying about this. Listen, you did it yourself. You said you don't even want a fare increase. Guess what? The MTA just took your money, schmucks. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, will you go ahead, guys. I'm sorry to get... The last thing, I want to keep the home rule thing. I definitely want to hear about what you say, Colin. But the last thing, I'm not going to say it's good news, but it's interesting news, is that Nebraska finally put to death a guy who killed two cabbies in cold blood in the 70s. I don't know why we kept that schmuck alive for 40 years, but hat tip to Nebraska for killing a cabbie killer from the 70s who was alive for 40 years, stuffing his fat face in jail on the taxpayer dime. So, good riddance, you blob of BS. It's disgusting stuff. Anyway, what were you saying about home rule, Colin?
Oh, okay. We kind of lost that during the green cab fiasco. There was a lawsuit, you know, that said that this should be up to the city, and the courts went against us on that one.
The courts went against us was because they said that it had state, it affected the
vital
state interest, right.
Yeah. Well, you can say that about anything. So you know, the state can say everything's a vital state interest.
Yeah, well, $250 to support the MTA, I guess that has vital state interest also because
the MTA,
runs, you know, the other parts of the state.
Yeah.
Okay. You know. But are the taxi cabs in Rockland County going to be paying $250 a fare? No. So if it has vital state interest, then they should pay it also.
Every form of transportation should pay it.
Yeah.
Why isn't the bus going up $250 a trip?
If the taxis have vital state interest, I think that every business in the state should pay 10 cents for every transaction they do to give to the taxis.
You know, David Weprin, who I think is an assemblyman, said, "Why don't you just have a very small surcharge in the income tax and fund the MTA that way?"
Or that's a great
idea. Commuter tax. I mean, it's such a small amount of money, nobody would even feel it, as opposed to making a poor cab driver who's making $35,000 a year send $60 a day into the MTA.
Every business in the city and state should pay 10 cents for every transaction they have. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do it that way too. But so small, nobody
Is it only on the taxis? I mean, what did we do to what did we do to deserve this? That other business.
Because they can do it to you. They can. Yeah. That's why they did it.
I know. And that's what the lawsuit should be based on, that it's totally unfair that only taxis have to pay this. Okay.
Well, that is unequal protection of the law. And the other thing is, I'm just worried that there's a couple of folks within our industry that are drooling over the fact that they'll be able to glom $250 a trip off their drivers for 3 months, and maybe that's why they're not fighting as much as they should.
Yeah, but Mike, they have.
Maybe they're saying, you know,
they have to turn that money over, so it doesn't matter. They're going to glom it. What are they going to do? Keep it? The only person that kept it was a guy named Friedman, and I think he's fighting like hell to stay out of jail. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, let me tell you something. Let me just run the math down.
Yeah.
You'd be glomming $250 a trip per driver per shift for 3 months. So if somebody's running a few dozen cabs, that's a lot of glomming, and you don't have to send the money in until after the 3 months. So, I mean, maybe we start.
So
to,
you can, so you the, can you the, can the, you can make some bank interest with the money, okay?
No, you could also float the money. You could buy a building with the money, or put it have it on the books to show your
have
bank.
It, right, and then you can get loans because you
right.
inflate you, the value of
so
the assets.
Then you then you should have to pay the money daily to the state.
There you
okay.
go. There you
the,
go.
Yeah, I think all that stuff should be like that. It should just go. It shouldn't even pass through the cab owner driver.
Right.
It should just go right to where it's supposed to go.
Right.
So that way the driver is not using that money because they get
right.
into trouble
right.
times when they do that.
Right. Suddenly when it's time to pay, they don't have it.
I've had a lot of people. A lot of people have been poo-pooing my glamour scenario, but I think in my heart there are more than a couple of folks out there. Or drooling over this $250
Mike,
trip that they can
Mike,
hold in their hot little
Mike,
hands 3 months.
Mike, have you discussed this with any of your passengers?
Yes, all the time. They don't know. They think the money goes. They don't even know what the money's for.
They're
going to think you're getting
regardless
it.
Regardless of what the money's for, how do they feel about paying it?
Oh, they don't even know. They just see here. First of all, on the meter. It's in two sections. It's not the fare is on the top.
I know that.
And
I know.
Right now
on the meter you have 50 cents, right?
Right.
It's gonna that's gonna be $3. All right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So here's your assignment, Mike. You know, because you're still driving a taxi. Okay. Here's your assignment.
Yeah.
I want you to talk to your passengers and ask them how they feel about that 50 cents being $3 as of January 1st.
Well, they probably don't even know about it.
You're going to tell them. I'm asking you to tell them. Okay?
Well, I'm asking everybody to tell them.
Right, everybody.
It's a big deal.
Everybody tell your passengers that's going to be $3. And you can send your comments to nyctaxinews@aol.com, or you can join our message board.
Right.
Okay, if you like.
Right.
Okay, because
Carolyn,
this needs to be discussed.
Where in the budget was this?
I'm sorry, what?
Carolyn, where in the budget was this passed? How in the name of God does this thing pass? Well, it was part of a big budget, right? Part of a budgetary thing?
Right, right. So if you wanted to vote for the budget, you voted for this. I don't think it was separate.
So it wasn't separate. It was
right.
snuck into the budget by the
4 o'clock in the morning.
America. By our fearless America was never great Cuomo economic genius.
Yeah.
All right, so basically, how do we get rid of this thing, Carolyn? You're the smart one here. I mean, how do we get rid of the $250?
I don't know what the rules are.
Well,
New York State legislative teachers.
I would say if every voter in New York City decided that they were going to tell their assemblyman up in Albany that they're out of office as soon as that $250 hits. That might have an impact.
Right.
Okay?
I don't think people are that involved in this problem.
Well,
it's our problem.
They will be involved when they get into a taxi on January 1st or whenever they do. Not everybody takes taxis every day. Okay? And
they get into a taxi on January 1st.
Well,
they'll be driven into Uber because Uber is going to charge 75 cents a trip because... They're going to say all their trips are group trips.
Yeah, but they should have to prove that, because from what I hear, most of their trips, even the group ride cars, only have one passenger.
Right. Right.
Okay.
It's still will only be 75
yeah.
cents.
Well, we need to have a way to prove that, to prove that it's not a group trip. Okay, and they need a way to prove that it is a group trip.
There's another surcharge coming down.
What's
the pike,
that? What's
and
that?
And that's going to be a health fund.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know exactly what that means. We don't know if it's for insurance or it's educating drivers how to get health insurance. We don't know exactly what it's going to be. We don't know who's administered, how much, but there is something looming.
Okay, it's
again.
A new bill coming up, so let me say this. Kill me now.
Kill you now?
Kill me now.
I would just say kill you now.
You know, I'm not committing suicide.
Don't. The rivers are packed. The rivers are
I tell you something. You know something? You know something? I want to say something. Okay? I don't know what it would take for me to commit suicide. Okay? Because you could put me on the street with a cup in my hand, right? And I still would want to live. Yeah. All right?
You know, New York State has a bill that they're considering for assisted suicide.
Oh.
And I brought that up to Bill Lindauer, who's one of the elder statesmen of fleet drivers. And
he
his quick repartee was, hey, maybe we can get a group rate.
Yeah. I think the MTA surcharge of $250 a trip is that. Now that's the textbook example of assisted suicide right there.
Yeah.
If you're on the fence, you're jumping over the fence when you're there. Listen, that thing is the Uber pricing structure. What Uber rides should do is work backwards and say, listen, if you're signing on for a group ride with Uber, congratulations, you're paying $250 to be in that car as a group rider. If somebody else jumps in, you can defray it. But I think the Uber thing, they should work backwards.
That's a good idea.
Why is it we start off with $250 and then all of a sudden, Uber, as I call them, every Uber trip should be $2.50, boom. And if you get a group ride, okay, maybe you can all chip in and help pay off the first guy.
Well, it should be 75 cents per passenger, not 75 cents for the whole group ride.
It is 75 cents per passenger. It is.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's better than 75 cents for the whole ride. Okay.
But most of our trips, we have one guy in the back of the cab.
Look, there are people. Yeah. Look, one of the reasons that the yellow cabs have actually survived all of this onslaught over the last 3 years is because there are people that will pay any amount of money to ride by themselves. Okay?
Yeah. I would say a lot of New Yorkers are like that, particularly Manhattan.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons they take a taxi. They want to be in control. Okay, so maybe some young millennials, in their 20s who are looking to meet their next date, might want to jump in on a group ride. But most, settled adult people, they could care less, all right? And they want to ride by themselves.
Right.
They want to be able to work in the back of the car, use their smartphones to figure things out maybe on their way to work or whatever, okay? I'm predicting that the sky will not fall with this $250, as unfair as I believe it is. Okay?
But every time there's been a raise, they have to do a whole study on what the effects of the raise would be.
Okay.
And the conclusion always is that you're going to lose a certain amount of fares, at least in the beginning. And this is a huge raise.
Yeah, but
we already picked it up.
But they all come back. They all come back. I remember in 1972 there was a 26% fare increase, which is enormous. And for the first week or so, business was down. And then everything came back. Everything came back. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right? Okay. Listen.
This is not a raise for the cab drivers, though. And the passengers don't understand that.
Yeah.
The MTA and Cuomo and all these phonies are not publicizing this to tell the passengers it's money for the MTA. They're just snuck it into the budget. There's no publicity. People don't notice. Even now on the meter, you see MTA 50 cents and 30 cent charges. People just see it as part of the, they don't even know what that money is for. It's just a surcharge. And they never publicize the fact that this MTA money, what the hell are we giving MTA money for? What are they out of their mind? This thing is, like I said, I am very worried about the glomming factor. Of the fact there are a few people who should be fighting, who are not fighting, who are drooling over this $2.50 per trip so they can float it for their own personal needs. I'm going to tell you something. At the end of 3 months, if this thing kicks in next year, you're going to see a few people on the next plane to wherever because they don't have the $300,000 or $400,000 from their little $2.50. Mark my words, there's going to be more than a few broken hearts. Like Carolyn was saying, some of these people don't have two nickels to grow up together. And when when it's time to send in that $250 per trip at the end of 3 months, and even with a 2 week grace, there's going to be a lot of people who won't have the money. I mean, just because people are broke to begin with, thanks to this Uber fiasco, there's going to be a lot of people at the end of that 3 months in March, around St. Patrick's Day, who their $250 per trip money, they won't have it in their pocket, and they're just going to be in the jackpot because there's going to be I would predict thousands of people are going to be spending that $250 per trip where they theoretically should be throwing into a lockbox. It's a disaster. First of all, it's a disaster, which is why Cuomo is ridiculous that he's running for a third term. And this is a guy who basically, in my opinion, stole the job from a blind black man. So I really didn't expect too much.
Yeah.
But this is ridiculous. You know?
Okay. Listen.
Anyway, that's my rant.
Yeah. Listen, we've been ranting here for close to an hour now. Okay. And I want to wrap things up here. I want to thank our sponsors on NYC Taxi News, the MTBOT, Checker Management.
That's right.
Yes. WB Taxi. And a new one we have now, Equity Now. They will, if you are being threatened with the foreclosure by your bank, and from what I understand, there are banks that are offering settlements on your medallion, where if you owe maybe $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, they'll let you pay maybe $200,000 or $300,000 if you mortgage your house. But these banks won't give you the mortgage, but Equity Now will. Okay, so check out Equity Now, and if there's a way out, there's a way out. Okay, and if there's no way out, you can call Peter Joseph, our bankruptcy attorney on NYC Taxi News, and if you need your taxes done all year long, Taxi CPA, and Queens Medallion is still offering their summer special. The summer isn't over yet, and I want to thank them also. So, Carolyn, I want to thank you for being on the show today. You're always a great asset to me and Mike's Insanity. All right?
I'd like to thank a few people.
Go ahead.
Who helped out tremendously leading up to the passage of the bills. And we'll have to see if the bills do anything, but certainly Richard Chow, who is the brother of Kenny Chow, who threw himself into the East River a few months ago.
Horrible story.
He was out there, every demonstration, all the meetings, you know, at the TLC, I don't know if he went to the TLC, but the city council. I mean, he was everywhere and relentless. And George Shifter, the brother of Doug Shifter, the limo driver who killed himself with a rifle, City Hall, and Nikolai Hent, who was the best friend of Nicanor Okisor and his son Gabriel Okisor. I mean, these guys were really out there, and I think that was very difficult for them. So I thank them. I hope they don't have to do any more work, but I'm afraid they probably are going to have to do some more work on this. George Shifter actually flew up from Florida to be at the city council when these bills were passed.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I know the Taxi Workers Alliance has some friends, some enemies within the medallion owner community, but I will give them credit for causing a stir, getting publicity, getting bodies out there, you know, yelling and screaming at the city council and the mayor and the speaker that they had to do something. So I give them a shout out and I give them credit for that.
Right.
I don't know if it's in their interest to get rid of some of those 185,000 drivers on the street, because after all, if you're a labor organization, don't you want as many people in your organization as possible?
I think
so there might be some conflict there, but I do, and there was some very good things in the original bill that some of the people in the Taxi Workers Alliance didn't like the $2,000 fee per driver, or limiting a driver to one app, one base. Some of them didn't want that, and I think we would have been better off with that simpler version of these bills. But still, I give them credit. And even the Drivers Guild, the Independent Drivers Guild, the Uber Union, they brought bodies out there. And people in the city council are very impressed when they see large numbers of bodies at these demonstrations. Now, I can't say as much for the medallion owners, because you ask a medallion owner to do something, the reaction usually is, I'm not doing that. Shame on us for that, even though I understand
T-Moda did stage several demonstrations over the last few years.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But they're tired. Yeah. You know, this has been going on for four summers.
Yeah,
I
hate to say this, but many of the T-Moda people may have been foreclosed on during that period.
Yeah.
Okay, so once you're foreclosed on, you know, you lose interest.
Right,
okay.
Of course. They don't have any skin in the game anymore.
Right, right.
Yeah, true.
Let me just as a last closing thing on this whole mess, everybody's immigrant gaga in the city of New York, the immigrants. Here's a situation where you had first-generation immigrants who came to America with their families legally, got their hack license, drove a cab, bought a medallion, bought houses, put their kids to school. It was a nice little progression of things. And all that was stripped away by a few losers on the city council. So either conspired with Uber, in my opinion, and these other app companies, or were too stupid to realize what was happening. And the cab driver who bought a medallion for $200,000 that then went up to $500,000 and $600,000, that first-generation cabbie, which most of these medallion owners are with the owner-driver stuff, were ripped off by the city of New York.
Yeah.
And the city of New York allowed them to get swindled out of their life saving and their hard work. And all these people talking about, oh, the immigrant, shame on you. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of phonies. And I hope they vote your ass out of office.
Yeah.
Because you've ruined the lives of thousands of first-generation cabbies who trusted America and the city of New York. And you should be ashamed of yourself. Well, I don't say you should be ashamed of yourself, because you probably have no shame to screw first-generation cabbies out of their life savings. But I hope there is some form of revenge down the road where you and your life savings will be destroyed, just like you destroyed the poor cabbie life savings who trusted the city of New York with this medallion system. So that's we shall see how that happens.
Mike,
get rid of the $250 per trip. That's ridiculous.
Mike, let me just say, the taxi drivers were ripped off. Okay, we're gonna start ripping back. Okay, and
good.
But they weren't ripped off by the city of New York. They were ripped off by these Uberites. With the help of the city of New York, okay?
Well, the one thing I'll say about these Uber and Schmoober and all these companies,
right?
I mean, they're running a business. They're going to do anything they can with the letter of the law, with their lawyers and their lobbyists, to get things their way. And it's up to the Taxi and Limousine Commission and the city of New York to look at their rules. And it's in the city charter that you have a responsibility to make sure that these cabbies make a decent living. Based on the meter rate and the medallion price and all these factors, which they didn't do. So as much as I'm not thrilled with the whole Uber scenario, the city of New York and the elected officials were lax, to say the least, in their responsibilities towards the first generation immigrants who they screwed out of their life savings.
Okay.
And I hope these cabbies can get that back. That's what we got to work on.
Last thing I'm going to say is, de Blasio was very positive in passing these bills, and he's still got 3 years left in office. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so let's see. Let's see what the future brings. I don't have my crystal ball here with me, and nobody else does. Okay? But I like what happened so far. All right? And let's...
It's more positive than anything else
right.
in the last 4 years.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So. Okay. Something versus nothing. So
they have tools to work with now. Whether they're going to work with them effectively or not.
Well we should demand that they work with the tools. We should demand.
Yeah, you're really going to have to pay a lot of attention to every little detail. But unfortunately, these details happen out of view, out of sight.
Carolyn.
You know, you don't know what kind of conversations are going on.
Carolyn, I know you're going to be at all the TLC meetings coming up in the future. And Mike, it would be nice if you attended too. And if somebody pays my airfare, I'll come also. Okay.
But you know that's not where they make the policy. Like when they
door. But if you complain enough at those meetings, they sometimes change what policy they thought they were going to make. I'm done. Say goodnight, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye,
goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight.
All right, everybody. Thank you
Thanks
for listening.
Thank you very much for listening.
This has been the Mike and Abe Show with Carolyn today, and we wish you all well and. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Labor Day is on its way. Okay.
Yay!
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, folks. Bye.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.